Welcome to a special episode of Cricket Podcast on First Post. This is your host, Ujjwal Singh. And today's episode is special because I have got an extraordinary guest on the show, that is former England cricketer, Monty Panesar. Monty, thank you for joining us. How are things in England?
Yeah, in England, obviously, I think the concern is to do with the coronavirus. We've had over 100,000 deaths, which, you know, if you look at our population, it's only 60 million. And it's, you know, the figure's similar to in India. But India, the population is, let me get my 20 times more, right? So, you know, 1.6 billion. And that's the huge concern that we have in England. And I think, yeah, hopefully this will get better.
Yeah, that's not good news. We can only hope that the pandemic goes away as quickly as possible, both for UK, the world, the India, and all of us. I also have Jigar Mehta, my colleague, on my show. So welcome to the show, Jigar.
Thanks, Ujjwal. Great to have you, Monty. We'll surely be having a lot of fun recalling the memories and previewing the India-England Test series.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, really looking forward to working with you guys.
Yeah, thank you, Monty, for that. So, we will straight get to the show. India defeated Australia recently in Australia, and now it's time to face the English challenge at home. The Test series starts on 5th of February. Monty would obviously be previewing the series for us, but before that, it becomes mandatory to talk about the 2012 series, that special series win for England that came after 28 years in India. Monty was the star of the show that time with 17 wickets from three matches. So, Monty, I will come straight to you. What are your first memories from that special series win?
Yeah, I think for us, we never thought we would win, but I thought we had a strong team. And I think, you know, that pitch helped us in Mumbai when they played the Ranji Trophy match, you know, a week before. If they just gave us a flat wicket, I think India probably would have won that test match in Mumbai. So it kind of worked in our favour because we probably bowled a bit more quicker than the Indian spinners on that turning pitch. But that's, you know, I think that was probably one of the biggest factors, to be honest, that why we won the series.
Yeah.
So, Monty, in that year, you had played five tests, won one and lost one, lost four. In Asia, basically. So what was the mood going into the series, and what were the preparations like?
Yeah, I think the preparations for us in India, we knew the likes of, you know, Alistair could, you know, he can bat long. India, you know, were a very strong team then. But what surprised us was the reaction of BCCI afterwards. You know, I think Sachin Bajaj, or we had this academy going on, they banned. They said, we don't want any overseas players coming to India to develop their game because effectively India lose. But then why is it that, you know, we have people coming to England playing club cricket from India? And then in Australia, there's English cricketers going and playing club cricket. But India completely stopped it because they want to keep dominating and keep winning in India, but they don't want the players to actually go to India and develop their game. So that was quite surprising to hear afterwards. But I guess when you're the biggest board and you're the most wealthiest board, I suppose that's, you know, it's their call, you know. They want to dominate and make sure they don't lose at home, and they'll do whatever it takes, you know, to make sure the favour is for India at home.
Yeah. Well, so before that series, they had struggled against Pakistan. England had struggled against Pakistan, and kind of coming to India, pretty tough place. They hadn't lost a series in 8 years in India. So what was the mindset like when you left England and arrived in India?
We knew that if there's a flat deck, a flat pitch, we can bat long. We knew that, you know, we had the batting, you know, on a flat surface to bat long, but we didn't know if we had the bowling attack to bowl India out. That was going to be our question mark. And when we got that sort of turning wicket in Mumbai, I remember bowling on the practice deck and it was flat. I was bowling to Joe Root and he was defending me, and I was like, gosh, this is such a flat pitch. And then when we saw the pitch next door to us, it was like, actually, the practice wicket, not the test wicket that we played on, which was a turning pitch. So effectively, we were surprised. We were so surprised to see that. We was like, why are India giving the game in our hands? Why aren't they just producing flat pitches and back their own spinners that they can bowl better than our spinners? Like, it just completely surprised us. And I think it was Duncan Fletcher's idea, because he obviously thought that, I backed spinners to do better, to bowl better on a turning pitch than the English spinners. So, yeah, that was a real surprise.
Yeah, and as we are talking about what sort of thought was there when England came to India and all that, I want to circle back to the time when you guys lost the first test match in Ahmedabad, and obviously a brilliant comeback from there in Mumbai, which was thought impossible at that point of time. And you didn't play the Ahmedabad test and you got into the side in Mumbai. I mean, England decided to have three paces there. What was the chat around after losing the first test match and before the Mumbai test? How was the environment and what exactly were spoken in the dressing room that spurred the team to the victory there in Mumbai?
Yeah, look, we had a good coaching environment there. Now, and I remember Mushtaq Ahmed, he used to always say to us, whenever you lose, protect the team's confidence. Let's not go into a bowler's, it was a bowler's fault, it was a batter's fault that we won or we lost, right? And Mushibai used to always say, let's protect each other, let's protect the team environment, let's not go into cliques, stay as a group, we lose as a group, we win as a group. And he was really good like that. I think whenever we lost, he was brilliant at just helping the team to stay together. So we never felt like, oh yeah, we lost, it's okay, let's go on to the next game. We didn't really dwell on it too much, because we had a someone like Mushibai who knew how to play in subcontinent pitches, who knew the conditions, knew how the game accelerated and just, the field settings, everything. So it was so useful to have him, throughout. But the subcontinent tours he was very, very helpful to all of us.
Yeah. So you had toured India twice before that. What were your personal preparations basically? Because in the last two outings, you did not have the best of times. You had average 62 and 50. So what were your personal preparations? How crucial was this tour for you also?
Well, look, I knew that, there's just two things that when you're touring India is the ball. If the ball gets really soft, then it's really difficult. And there's been some test matches where I've played and the ball gets really soft in subcontinent pitches and I'm not very effective, I'll be honest with you. And then there was the test matches we played in during that trip, the ball, the SG ball, the seam always stayed hard, the ball was harder for longer, I was in the game for longer. In 2006 and the other tours, like, the ball will go really soft after 10 overs and it's just like, oh, what am I bowling with? It felt like I was bowling with an orange or an apple. And I've got to turn this, it's so difficult. So that trip, the ball, I think the ball in India, it makes a huge difference. If you pick a nice one out of a bunch of six and it's a nice ball, then yeah, you're definitely in the game. But the longer that ball stays harder and the seam is pronounced, then I'm in the game for longer. Once that seam gets really flat, that's it. Then, it's a very flat wicket then.
You spoke about the SG's ball's grip, and it did grip in Mumbai for you when you got that wicket of Sachin Tendulkar. That still hurts a lot of Indian fans. Jigar has a story about it. I would want Jigar to take forward this from here and add his story before we put a question to you.
So during that time, there are a lot of memories with that series, basically. So during that time, Sachin Tendulkar was not having a good time. And there were murmurs that he might retire after the series. So there was a lot of rumors going on during that time. So I was at my shift on the job. and the test was being played in Mumbai. So kind of I just got an inkling that I could sense something special from Sachin. So I went to my boss. I said that look, I'm not feeling all right. I'm not feeling good. I need to go home. So he said fine. So I just rushed to Wankhede Stadium at that point. And as soon as I entered the stadium and I saw the ground, the first thing I saw was Monty Panesar getting Sachin Tendulkar's wicket. And at that point of time, I was like, oh boy, what have I done? I have completely jinxed it. So I mean, the first memory goes there, basically. I just entered the stadium and he got out. So I was like, and it was a brilliant delivery, it was talked about a lot after that also, that delivery. And the second memory that I have is, as I said, it was, Sachin Tendulkar was kind of not having a good time. And there were murmurs that the Nagpur test might be his last test. So basically, I did not want to miss out on that test. So I just booked a train ticket to Nagpur. And I had a friend living there. So I just called him and said, I am coming there. And you please arrange my stay in your hostel. So I went there. I just rushed to taking the next train. I went there. I stayed at the hostel for 5 days and watched the full 5 days from the ground. And it was a kind of a sluggish wicket in Nagpur. So I did not get to see a Sachin special there, but I got to see three special innings, Kevin Peterson's innings in the first innings, and then Ian Bell and Jonathan Trott. So those two were the innings that were crucial in helping England clinch the series in Nagpur, where they achieved a draw. So yeah, a lot of memories attached to that series. But
coming back to you, Monty, I remember your celebration, that punch in the air when you got Tendulkar bowled. You still remember that wicket? How special was that?
Yeah, it was one of them sort of, spin bowling is one of them things where you just get it right out on some days, And like I said, that pitch was turning on day one. I remember getting Sehwag out on a full ball onto his pads, stumps. And when I, when I just bowled that ball to Tendulkar, I just thought, I just want to hit the top of off. That's what I want to do. Bowl it middle stump, hit the top of off and get him coming to play forward. And I actually didn't realise that he was looking to play towards mid wicket on that ball. And I guess with the pace, it was quite quick and it drifted in, but it gripped, because the pitch was, already, it was a third day pitch, first day wicket, to be honest, it was a third day pitch. And it gripped. And obviously, I think with the pace, he probably thought it was going to go on with the arm, play towards mid wicket and hit the top of off. So yeah, that was a perfect delivery for a left arm spinner. But put things into context, it probably wasn't a first day pitch, it was already turning from day one. So yeah, it was an absolute minefield.
Yeah, if one goes back to the videos, one would see that there were already a lot of not to say cracks, but a lot of places the pitch was already breaking up. But the place where you pitched that ball, it was still pretty intact, but it gripped like anything. And Tendulkar, I guess, was not expecting that turn and eventually led to the dismissal.
Yeah, that's what I mean by the SG ball. We had really good balls during that tour. Really, if I had a ball which had a slightly softer seam, probably may not gripped, Similar to the Duke's ball. When I'm in England, the Duke ball, I get it to turn because of the, the seam's quite pronounced. It helps me to turn. Same thing. I felt like the SG ball is very similar to the Duke's ball. And when I turned it and it gripped, I was like, oh, gosh, this is just the best delivery in the world. And I remember Greg Matthews, he helped me a lot in Australia about hitting the top of off and, always as a spinner, look to hit the top of off. And I remember watching it and I thought, I hope he's watching. He must feel really proud about this one.
Sorry for interrupting you, Jigar. Please carry forward.
Yeah, so when you on the first day it was turning, and after the day's play, when you went back into the dressing room, Were you a bit worried also, given the fact that India's spin bowling strength has always been great, and it was spinning right from day one? So, kind of you would have enjoyed bowling on that first day track, but kind of worried also that they might hurt you.
No, we weren't worried, because Alistair Cook's record was amazing in subcontinent pitches. You know, it was similar to Matthew Hayden. And then when we looked at when Haydon had a great tour in 2001, it was a sweep shot. He's the one who scored, you know, against Harbhajan Singh, kept on sweeping him so well. And we knew that Alistair Cook, you know, was so good, you know, previously in Dubai and Abu Dhabi. He was so good at the crease. He was probably one of the, probably is actually the best player in subcontinent pitches, you know, from an overseas batsman. And then we had the likes of Kevin Peterson, who, you know, scored quickly, and he knew he could put pressure on the team. So we were confident. You know, we had the likes of Jonathan Trott, who could bat long as well. So we had that combination was absolutely perfect. Had attacking batsmen, had batsmen who could stay at the crease. And we didn't. I just felt like, you know, I just don't think Harbhajan Singh was bowling at his best, I'll be honest with you. And I think that was, you know, there's a lot of onus on Ashwin. Good bowler, but I just thought, you know, I remember Kevin Peterson even saying to me, because he goes, I don't think I can get out to this guy. You know, he bowls a bit too slow, and, you know, you got enough time to get on the crease. It's, you know, we feel like he could bowl a bit more quicker, but I don't think that's his natural pace. So I think even the spinners they picked on that tour, you know, like if you have someone like Rinder Jadeja, like, look, Harbhajan Singh's a great bowler, but He just wasn't getting that bounce. That we was like, what's going on? He used to get a lot of bounce. He's not getting the same bounce. Maybe he's past his best. Ashwin, you know, bowling well. But I thought they've got a couple of spinners, you know, who are not as threatening as we thought. I don't think India's spinners was as threatening as the English spinners, you know. The likes of Pranka Ojha, good bowler, you know. But if you get him to bowl quickly, I just don't think that's his natural style. Same with Harbhajan Singh. I don't think he's naturally quick. He bowls it quick, but he needs to bowl it with that loop. He's not the type of bowler who bowls it into the pitch flat. He's not used. That's not his style. And he wasn't getting the same bounce. I remember him like really off a length. His bounce was like the best. No one else could get the ball to bounce like he used to off that length. He just didn't get the same bounce. And we thought, gosh, we could get these guys out. Well, we could start, you know, we can probably compete them, compete against them.
Yeah, but talking about Kevin Peterson, how good was that innings in Mumbai? Was brilliant, isn't it?
I think it was brilliant, but I also thought that the Indian bowlers could have been a bit more tactically, a bit more aware, a bit more, you know, astute. I just felt that they thought that Kevin Peterson would make a mistake. He just didn't. He was just in there for the long time. And that's what I mean. Like, you know, when you look at it, you know, Indian spinners weren't as threatening as we thought they would be because of the pace. You know, I remember Ravi Shastri saying to me when he was commentating, he goes, to be honest, Monty, the difference is, he goes, our spinners can't bowl it at that pace. They're not used to it. They have to bowl it slightly slower. And you guys are bowling it slightly quicker and you're getting it to turn. So, because that's the biggest difference. What's the pace between...
Sticking with Peterson only, as you said, obviously the Indian bowlers probably were not as quick as their English counterparts. But we have read a lot about how Peterson prepared for that innings. I mean, and from someone who bowled to him in the nets, can you give us a perspective of how he probably trained for it? We have heard about how he got advice from other players how to play in subcontinent and probably practice in a different way to be ready for Indian spinners in subcontinent. Can you give us some insight into that?
Yeah, like I remember in Dubai, we used to train, or Sri Lanka actually, where we started. You know, we found like the batsmen were quite static in their movements, and Andy goes like, how do we get the batsmen to start moving their feet, you know, back and forth, move your feet, get into positions. And he said, you know, let's take the pads off. You know, something that Kevin Peterson obviously shared. And recently, I think he shared it from an email from Rahul Dravid. And we said, yeah, everyone take your pads off. and you got to play with your bat. And if it hits your thing, then it's fine. We can wear a little shin guard, you know, football shin guards or wicket or short leg shin guards. But, you know, try and not let it hit your feet. And what we found was there were balls that were elbow quickly, you know, sliding down leg, and guys were moving their feet so much better because they didn't want to hit their leg. And that's how we started that training. We was like, all right, you know, let's bat like this, and it can't hit the pad. You got to play with the bat. And suddenly the movement, now we found, so me and Swanee, like, we found it so difficult. We were like, this is so much harder now. We're so used to the guys playing with their pad that their movement is so good. They're like balls that were turning into the stumps. They were moved towards leg stump and hit it into offside. They were not afraid of like playing some of the sweep shots because they know it's not going to hit our leg. And it just changed the whole kind of the way we batted. And I think that, you know, Rahul Dravid's email probably, you know, people say that, you know, maybe the BCCI will ban ex-Indian players to send emails to other players if India lose again, you know, maybe that could be the next thing. But, you know, that was a sound piece of advice, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Monty, I mean, you spoke in the very beginning of the show also that how when you guys came to England, you didn't really have the expectation that you were probably going to win a series. But all that transpired throughout the series, especially after what happened in the first test match, you guys lost that one and then came back heroically in the second test match. You must be really proud of what the team did and what inspired that sort of comeback.
I think it's just, you know, it's your desire, really. You know, you just keep pushing on and you just think, well, you know, you just got to never give up on your goals and your dreams. Some people, you know, some cricket players are just, they find it easy, you know. They make their test debut in test cricket and or international cricket and they just keep excelling. Like, you know, they never sort of, never come out of the team, but they do really well. But then there's some players you have to, you know, you sort of, come out of the team, you've got to work hard, have a good domestic, get back and do a comeback, and you just keep doing that all the time. And I guess it just develops you as a person and as a character. Yeah, I think it's a lot harder when you keep making comebacks. I think it's a lot easier when you're in the team and you just keep playing games and you don't get dropped because, you know, your game develops more and you become a better player. But here you're always proving to yourself, you're proving to people, am I still good enough? Am I still good enough? And you don't really excel as much as you can do if you're regularly just playing international cricket.
Yeah. And every time in the first three tests, every time India batted first, India won the toss. And there were three tosses that India won. And it's kind of, you know, really difficult when a side wins the toss in India and then they bat on and then it becomes difficult to bat in the fourth innings for the opposition. So I mean, how big was that considering that you had lost tosses in first three tests?
Yeah, we weren't too far. I know like sometimes you get the toss and it works in your favor, but we were just like, I think we were a really resilient team. We thought, we always looked at the worst case scenario. Because guys, if we lose the toss, you know, we got to go out there and we have to show a bit of, you know, resilience and bowl well and do all the good stuff that we need to do. So from that point of view, I thought it was, you know, perfect, you know, how our attitude was, you know. Sometimes, yeah, we always expect a tour of India to be hard, you know. Yeah. It's not easy, yeah. You know, the game's going to be hard. We'll probably lose the first day pitch. We've got to do the hard work, we've got to do this, but we're already prepared for that. We're like, guys, you know, we always went in India with a tour of the worst case scenario, guys. You know, we're going to lose the toss. It's going to be a hot day. It's going to be a flat pitch, no grass on the wicket, you know, not going to turn. But as a team, we show good body language, we work hard. It's going to be hard work. We've got to go through the hard graft. India's tour is always about that. Touring India is just a hard graft. There's nothing easy about it, right? Everything is just hard work. And then, you know, suddenly the game accelerates and you've got to go with it and you're not with it. And that's it. You lose the game or whatever. So it's the team that shows a lot of resilience, a lot of fight. And that came from Andy Flower because Andy Flower himself was a Zimbabwean. you know, when he played for Zimbabwe, he was a fighter. He worked hard, and he goes, this is what I want from the team. He goes, I don't care about how skillful you are. You need to fight every session. He always believed Test cricket was about that, you know, the mental, you know, skill, the perseverance, the patience, the hard graft, the resilience, you know. And if we get conditions in our favour, great. But, you know, Test cricket's going to be hard in India, guys, and we've got to be prepared for it. So mentally, we were always like, oh, we're going to lose the toss. Oh, you know, Tendulkar's going to just hit 100 really quickly. Sehwag's going to smash us everywhere. But we've got to stay strong in that moment. So that came from the coaching staff. You know, they told us straight away that, you know, tour of India, we always knew that, but this made us have that mindset. You know, it is a hard graft. This is nothing easy about it. And it, you're with a different attitude. You know, you're mentally more prepared for the long haul.
Yeah. So as I said, you and Graham Swan combined together to take 37 wickets in that series in 2012. And you said in the show how Indian spinners were not quick enough. Do you put your success and Swan's success to you being you both, the duo being more quicker than the Indian spinners, or what do you think was the key to success in India?
I think it's to do with many things. It's also to do with relationships with people. You know, my and Graham Swan's relationship started in Northampton, Wantage Road, playing on turning pitches. And we knew when we played together, it comes a point where you don't talk with each other. You just know. You're like, yeah, all right, I'll get this guy out. I want this. Because he played a lot together, right? And he knows me really well. You know, just probably one of the few cricketers, I think, you know, Graham Swan knows me, who I am as a person, as a cricketer, and we've played a lot together. So it just felt like, oh, this is that when we looked at the turning wicket, it was like, oh, this is at Wanted Rose, North Ants. Me and Swanee just bowling together at North Ants, and we're going to just bowl a side out. And that was it. So it took the pressure off, not thinking that these are Indian great batsmen. But so sometimes, you know, in a team environment, like similar what's happening with Somerset, Don Bess and Jack Leach, they played a lot with Somerset together. If they get on a turning wicket, or if they're playing on a fourth innings, they're going to be thinking, yeah, in Somerset, we've done it. Let's do it again here on a turning pitch. But then if they get a flat wicket, then, yeah, like, you know, they haven't got enough experience to bowl on flat pitches, but they got more on turning pitches. So you know, that's going to be the difficulty. But me and Swanee, we both played on flat and turning pitches. We had experience where, you know, effectively me and Swanee, if we were playing right now, we could probably just play with two spinners. We don't need a third spinner. Because both of us were, like, I think, you know, quite good in our own right. But I think both of these guys, Don Bess, Jack Leach, they're still learning. You know, Don Bess is a batter who can bowl, and he's still learning. He knows that, you know, I need to get wickets. He's getting wickets, but he's more of a batsman who can bowl. Jack Leach, good bowler on turning pitches. Yeah, on flat pitches, he's still learning how to bowl. And yeah, it's a little bit difficult, but, you know, I don't think they're quite the complete article yet, as where they could be. And also the experience that me and Swanee had, you know, we played a lot of cricket together. So, you know, we were probably maybe more complete bowlers. So, yeah, look, this tour's going to probably be a lot tougher for them, but it'll be a good experience. You know, they'll learn more about the game.
Yeah. So talking about bowling spin with pace, how actually is it difficult to spin with pace, basically, to gain that turn with pace? Was it something that came to you naturally, or you developed it over the time? How difficult is it, basically?
Yeah, I think what's natural for me is to bowl it with pace, with spin on it. It's much more natural than bowling it slower, because on the pitches we produce. And plus my action, I've got long fingers, strong shoulders, strong body action. So naturally, I'm going to bowl it with pace, because that's what it is. To bowl it slower is probably a bit more tougher for me. So yeah, you know, on pitches that were turning a bit, yeah, I was definitely, you know, I can definitely, I'm in the game. So yeah, and yeah.
So any interesting stories from that tour, apart from what we spoke about, any funny or interesting stories?
Celebrate.
I remember one celebration in Kolkata when I took a wicket. I was doing the Salman Khan, the Bung song celebration, which I think I did a rubbish impression. But I've always been a fan of Salman Khan, you know, Bollywood. And I remember, you know, you're like, everyone's talking about Bollywood in the dressing room. That's all they talk about, because it's everywhere in your screen, Zing TV, everything. There's this Bollywood, 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 right? And I'm a big fan of Salman Khan, so I watch Big Boss, you know? And, yeah. You know, Weekend Ka Vichar is on, and we watch it here every day. We are watching Big Boss. We don't miss out. Like, okay. You know, I would sleep a couple of hours, but I'll make sure I watch Big Boss, right? So because it comes on late here at 9:30, and it finishes at 11:30 every day, then it gets a little bit late for me to go to sleep. So what I do is I go to sleep a little bit earlier, and then I have a little bit less sleep afterwards, but I still get my 7 hours in. So, like, I don't know. This is a sacrifice that we're making for Salman Khan, man. This is like, you know, he's a brilliant actor, and he's brilliant watching him on Big Boss. And, yeah, I love the show. I love how he's able to analyze points and, and then he goes, no, this is not fun. I'm being serious now, right? So he's brilliant. And then at the end, they start in line. You know how Arnold Schwarzenegger says, I'll be back, right? Salman Khan says, do whatever you want to do, man, but don't listen to your mom and dad and kiss, you know, like that at the start. That's what reminds me of Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'll be back. Salman Khan says, hey, do whatever you want to do, man.
I can see that there was a lot of Big Boss.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love Big Boss. I love it.
Any plans of getting into that house?
Oh, I actually did have an interview. Do you know that? I had an interview a couple of years ago, and they were considering me to go on to the show, but I just don't know if my Hindi is good enough. I'll be honest with you. You know, I don't know if my Hindi is good enough, but I don't know. I watch it all the time, but Hindi has improved. But I don't know. You never know. You never know, you know. Yeah. I think the only reason I want to go on the show, if I did have the opportunity to go, is I can speak to Salman Khan every Saturday. And then he'll say to me, no, Monty, I am being serious. That is not fun. Okay? I'll be back. Okay. I'll be like, yes, Salman Khan said this to me. Salman bhai ne ye kiya, Monty, you are doing very well on this show, okay? But do not mess it up now. I'm like, oh my God, Salman Khan said that to me. Oh, that's it. I love it. That would make my week.
Yeah, I guess to have you on the show also. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's like Hindi. There's a lot of people with dramas and, you know, or funny things like that, man. It's just like, you know, he's a great guy. And I like the way he breaks down issues. Like, you know, when people say, a lot of people watch Weekend Ka Vichar in the UK, they say, we learn a lot about life. We learn a lot about day-to-day life now. How to deal with things, how you speak about things, how they create scenarios, how to do these flips. But it's so relatable to life. That's why Big Boss is so good, and that's why Salman Khan is brilliant, because he's able to break down the points, or they create the scenario, and it's so relatable to day-to-day life that you think, wow, this is great. Yeah, I get that. I can relate. There's always some point I can relate to in my life with my friends and family that I think, yeah, what a great point, you know. I'll bear that in mind, and that's why it's so good, just for that reason.
Yeah. So coming back to the field, any interesting stories from that tour that you can remember?
I remember it's really interesting to say that. So many different things. I think what we said in general, like, it wasn't anything funny story, but we said, I think touring India has become a lot easier now. You know, since 2006, it's like, the hotels are so much better, the infrastructure, better facilities. It's not as hard anymore to tour India. I think India has become an easier place to come and tour now. And it's maybe because of the IPL or whatever, but that's what we found. That we all sat down together. We go, we don't feel like we're in India. We feel like, sometimes we feel like we're in Dubai or something, you know, the great hotels, but I think India's infrastructure and everything is like, it's really gone through the roof. It's a lot easier, a lot more organized. It's an easier place to come and tour now. I think India definitely, the middle class has come up. A lot of people have said that India has, economy's really gone through the roof. But then, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, 1 minute India are like winning at Brisbane, first ever test match with a second Indian A team. And then we've got the farmers protest, which we don't know what the hell is going on with that, right? It's like this country's got the opportunity to become a super nation. But it's just, you know, this India can be the strongest country in the world if they just, if that's what they want. If you look at America, you have 52 states and they're all strong states, right? India has to be in the same position, man. India can't just have the likes of Gujarat, Tamil Nadu, Kolkata, Karnataka, Maharashtra, you know, these top five states being so strong. They need another five, you know, to 10 powerhouses, you know. And look, Punjab is one of them. Punjab needs to be a strong state. I think, you know, not saying I'm Sikh, because of the, you know, because of the, you know, agricultural land. It's such a fertile land that there's so much money there that India's got the potential to become a super nation, you know, and they should follow the American model. You know, 52 states, all strong states. Let's make all the states in India strong. Let's become, you know, the powerhouse. Let's become the most powerful nation in the world. And I think that's, you know, with the growth that we've seen, you're like, wow, India can become the most powerful country in the world.
Yeah, very interesting. One would say it's a process, and probably India is slowly climbing those stairs towards that. But coming back to cricket, obviously Big Boss was very surprising information, very entertaining also. We need to, I mean, move on to the series that is coming up. And here is where I want your opinion, Monty. You said when you guys came in 2012, not seen as a team which will defeat India. This team obviously doesn't have the same amount of experience, but you see them, they can repeat the heroics. Do you see them doing that?
The batting is the question mark for me, to be honest. You know, they haven't got Johnny Bairstow in the first two test matches. He could have played that similar role to Peterson, score quickly. Ben Stokes is back, but he hasn't played cricket for a while. You know, you're just not sure, you know, what you're going to get from him in Indian conditions. You know, IPL, he didn't start very well. At the back end, he did well. So it's difficult, India. You know, India's a difficult place. Young batting lineup, inexperienced top four, lot on Joe Root. You know, Joe Root's got to bat well, like he's done in Sri Lanka, I think, if they've got any chance. Bowling wise, they're probably stronger, you know, if similar. Spin wise, you know, again, flat pitch. I don't know how the spinners will respond, you know. And then you look at India, they've got a good batting lineup, got Virat Kohli coming back, got, you know, Jadeja's probably the only question mark, you know, if Ashwin bowls well. They may, you know, do they play Kuldeep Yadav? Do they play Akshar Patel? You know, that's the missing link, you know, the second spin up. But the seamers, you know, Indian seamers got the ball to move more than the Australian seamers in Australia. And if Indian seamers get the ball to move more in the air and off the pitch than the England bowlers, let's say, then it's going to be very difficult. Then I can't see England win the series. So, you know, I think a lot depends on how Joe Root bats. I think how Joe Root bats throughout the series will then, you know, it'll depend on a lot on him if England can win the series.
Yeah. When you go back to 2012 and compare that team with the current team that England has, how different are the two?
Well, you look at, we had Alistair Cook, we had Ian Bell, we had Kevin Peterson, Jonathan Trott. Now, that was like our strength, four strong contenders. It's like having four Joe Roots, right? Okay, I know Joe Root's a great player, but similar players. I think there's only one Joe Root in that team at the moment, right? And then the next player coming close, probably, you know, Joss Butler's a good player, can probably take one innings, take a game away. But, you know, I can't see him bat all day, you know. And he's only playing one test match as well, so he goes back. Johnny Bairstow probably got the best. So, you know, the batting is quite inexperienced. So if you look at it, you know, them four compared to England only have one, which is Joe Root. Well, they don't have anyone else. Let's be honest, they're all very young and inexperienced. So the batting is very weak with this England team compared to the one in 2012.
Yeah, I mean, you already spoke about how Bairstow is not there for the first two tests. So England obviously is going to miss him. I mean, he's a good player of spin. But now that whatever resources are there with the team, what would be your advice to the young English batsmen about tackling spin on Indian pitches?
I would say that you have to, you know, if the ball is skidding on, not turning much, you know, you got to maneuver the ball really well. It's easy to hit the ball over the top, hit boundaries. It's about, you know, maneuvering the ball, pushing it into the singles, you know, getting into good position, knocking it down the ground, you know, getting off strike. That's going to be the difficulties because, you know, you always want, you want a batsman to hit you for boundaries, but not go for singles, because then you can at least bowl six balls and then have a game plan and you think, right, this, I'm going to get the guy out. But I think the England bowlers, England batsmen are going to find it a little bit difficult to do that. And then they'll just like look to think, well, let's go and get a boundary option, like Zach Crawley did in the first innings, and then he got himself out. So I think if the England batsman can manoeuvre the spin really well, and the sweep shot's going to be a big shot, then I think, yeah, they've got a chance. But, you know, Indian spinners are street smart, you know, they're street smart. They know all the tricks. They know how to get guys out on the sweep. They know how to stop the manoeuvring of the ball. So it's going to be like, you know, it's going to take a lot of effort, but you just never know, you know. Cricket's a funny old game, but I can't see England win the series just because of batting. I just don't see the batting. I don't think the batting is strong enough. And, you know, I'll be surprised if England win the series, but I think they would be competitive in certain departments. It's just, yeah, look at Joe Root, and then we've got four of our batsmen. You compare the two, you know. Yeah, it's just very difficult. It's very difficult.
We saw Joe Root employ a lot of sweeps. Then there were reverse sweeps and switch hits also. So do you think that it will be kind of a similar approach from both Root and the other batsmen also, try and go aggressive rather than just go on the back foot and play kind of defensive cricket?
No, they will be aggressive. They'll play the reverse sweeps. They'll play all these kind of shots. And Indian spinners, your team must be prepared for that. You know, don't take that lightly and think that, you know, it's going to be basically, you know, they're going to play, you know, like a traditional cricket, and we're going to get them out, just keep bowling the same. But no, they're going to be different shots, and I'm sure they've got their game plans and they're prepared for that. That's going to be the difficulty, you know. The England players will be definitely, you know, a lot more attacking this time around.
So taking everything into the consideration, I mean, you spoke about the inexperienced batting lineup. I mean, if we speak about what do you think would be the most crucial for England's chances in the series?
I think it will rely again on Jimmy Anderson and Stuart Broad, to be honest. They've bowled really well in Sri Lanka, and if they can bowl really well in that sort of first innings, second innings, you know, where they're not going for many runs, And they're bowling, you know, like, you know, Jimmy Anderson bowled like 25 overs, went for 6 for 40. You know, that's the sort of, yeah, that put a lot of pressure on the India team. But then if Indian batsmen, let's say, you know, start hitting the likes of Broad and Anderson and they start getting runs against them, then, you know, will England have a plan B? Will they go into fast bowling? You know, they're going to have the likes of Jofra Archer, Mark Wood's not there, but Jofra Archer bowls quick, got good strong all-rounders, you know, Chris Wokes as well. Ben Stokes, you know, so they've got a few options, but I think if Jimmy Anderson and Stuart Broad bowl well, then it allows the rest of the team to sort of, you know, takes the pressure off, you know, the rest of the team, and I think, like we always say, like if they don't give their wicket away to you know, the likes of, you know, these bowlers, then I think, you know, India can pull really big totals. And I don't know if it has the Indian batting got the, you know, have they got the ability to not get out to the likes of Stuart Broad and Jimmy Anderson and score runs against them. You know, it's that same scenario, you know, when England players or any overseas batsmen come on to in India, it's like, yeah, you've got to face spinners, but you've got to score quickly. to be competitive. And the same thing is going to be with the Indian batsmen. They've got to score against the likes of these guys, but also not give their wicket away. And I think that's where that's going to be another area where the game could be won or lost throughout the Test series.
So we spoke about Anderson and Broad, but how do you rate this English spin attack? Basically, that's there in India, right? That will be there in India.
Yeah, look, this team, this bowling, they've done really well in Sri Lanka. This is ideal preparation. They've got two Test matches. Their bowling's gone better since the last sort of innings that they bowl. So, you know, they will be better prepared going into, you know, the Chennai first Test match. It's like playing two. You know, Sri Lanka are a good team in goal, but effectively they've had a couple of warm-up games, so they should be now ready, you know, in the first Test match. But if the spinners don't bowl well, then that would be a big question mark on can they handle pressure, or do they only bowl well, you know, when the likes of Jimmy Anderson, Stuart Broad do well. You know, they hide behind them. They're not like, you know, like myself or Swanee, you know, we'll be like front on. After a few overs, we'll be bowling with the new ball. We'll be like, you know, taking on the responsibility. Or do these spinners hide behind, you know, the greats of Jimmy Anderson, Stuart Broad? They bowl well. Yeah, we come in, bowl a few overs, get a couple of wickets. Yeah, you know, we've had a good performance, but they haven't really taken the responsibility full on. And then if there's a situation where both Broad and Anderson bowl well but don't take wickets, then it's like, come on guys, you guys got to take the wickets, and they can't hold the pressure, then yeah, they'll be definitely exposed. So there's a lot to be said that some of the bowlers are sort of hiding behind, you know, Jimmy Anderson, Stuart Broad, rather than, you know, taking the responsibility full on because of their greatness. That's how great they are, and that's something that India should try and see if they can get the likes of the spinners to bowl at them and not get out to the likes of Jimmy Anderson, Stuart Broad.
Yeah, but sticking to the English spinners here, and as you have spoken about it in earlier part of this interview also, that how Indian spinners were not quick enough in 2012. Would you say that for Dom Bess, whether Moeen Ali or Leach, what sort of length do they need to stick to?
Normally I say 4 meters from the stumps, or even fuller than that. And that's the ideal length for the bowler, for the batsman to step out and hit you for a six. And also from that length, you know, they can go back, and if they go forward, then you can edge it. So you know, there's few options that the batsman has. But then I don't want them to move away from that length, because yeah, they're going to hit you for a six, but then you keep bowling that length, they may go on the back foot, they'll punch you. Then the batsman will think, actually, I'm not scoring, and he's keep bowling the same length. Then they'll come forward, and suddenly, yeah, you got them coming forward. But the challenge is going to be, can we just bowl that sort of that length, you know, in that same area, not start bowling short or full, which they kind of shown some, you know, obviously throughout the Sri Lanka Test series. And that's going to be another area where this the England team to win in India will be how accurate are the spin bowlers, you know. Even when India are attacking, can they still hold their length? That's going to be another area where I think the game can be won at or lost.
So, Monty, can you talk about England's spin bowling riches, the culture back in England for spin bowling? How's it?
Yeah, there's a few spinners coming through. There's a young spinner called Amir Verdi. I think he's going to be on tour as a reverse, you know, reserve spinner. He's a good prospect. There's like the Matt Parkinson's cut a leggy, and there's, you know, Matt Crane, who played Sydney Test, and another leggy. But I think it's the attitude, you know, that the captains have with the spin bowlers. You know, if they get hit for a few runs, they take them off, bring the seamer back on, medium pacer. You kind of bowls the overs that the spinner should bowl, takes a few wickets, and you come off. You want to encourage the spinners to come on, because at Test cricket, you don't have that option where you take the spinner off, then bring a medium pacer on. And you want to have a similar situation where, you know, spinners are getting the opportunity to bowl on pitches or get a fielder, you know, defensive fields, get in the game, bowl a few overs. Don't worry about it. We're going to set you defensive fields. And sometimes that doesn't happen. So that understanding, you know, and hopefully this is what people can see now, you know, with the likes of Joe Root, the way he's captained the team. There's hopefully county coaches, county captains looking at thinking, you know, how can we bring the spinners into the game? Because, you know, we want to develop that, you know, keep developing spinners, or else, you know, it's going to, yeah, then that's, you won't get good quality spinners in England.
Yeah, Monty, before we let you go, I obviously would want to know, what are your predictions for the series?
Yeah, look, I think India will win the series. Prediction, gosh. And I think India will probably want to, you know, they only need to win the two test matches to get into the, you know, qualify for the test championship. So, 2-0 India, or 3-1 India.
Or 3-1 India. All right. You're at least seeing England winning one. All right, Monty, thank you very much. It was an honor to have you on the show. And Jigar, thank you to you also for joining me today. And thank you to the listeners also for giving your valuable time. The podcast would be available on Audio Boom, Spotify, subsequently on Google Podcast also. Hope you all enjoyed the show. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thanks a lot, Ujjwal. And thanks a lot, Monty. It was great fun. Looking forward to you coming to Big Boss House.
Yeah, I need to improve my Hindi. Okay, like I said there, do whatever you want to do, man.
Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks a lot. Bye.